It looked like the Shekinah glory. It was a hard life. There was work to be done on the farm, and they lived hand to mouth at times. His brother J.I. enjoyed smoking during the season of life, except when there were other demands on his money. Dallas recalled, "I remember my older brother. We were very poor, and he would stop smoking long enough to buy his daughters new shoes, and then he'd make a beeline for the Lucky Strikes." At first, the house had no electricity to help Dallas study on winter evenings. "We only had coal oil lamps," says Dallas. "Then there was a great day when I was a senior in high school, would you believe, when something called the REA, the Rural Electric Association, put posts down the road and strung wires. They put wires in our house and electric lights, and electricity came through and set us free from the coal oil lamp." As Dallas remembers, "It's so funny how we thought about things in those days. You know, you had maybe one wall plug in a room, maybe one little light up there. But of course, we were thinking of it in comparison with what we had before, and it looked like the Shekinah glory compared to what we'd had." With the arrival of that unseen power, a metaphor for the light and the power of the kingdom was switched on in Dallas's mind. Behold, electricity is now at hand. Even when invisible power was at hand, J.I. first arranged to have it in the barn, to run milking machines. Only later did he have it run to the house, which finally allowed homework and reading the Count of Monte Cristo and the Sea Wolf to be done after dark, and without a fresh supply of coal oil. "Many 20th century disciples," says Dallas, "are puzzled to read that Wesley rose at 4:30 a.m. to pray for about 6 hours. Forgetting that he went to bed at 7 p.m. Wesley didn't have electricity. You know, people used to go to bed with the chickens," Willard reminds us and continues. "When I was a boy, I lived in a house with my grandparents, and we had no electricity, none of the so-called conveniences of modern life. And I can remember many nights being in bed while it was still light and hearing the chickens find their roosting place." It was a different life. About life in a different era, Willard said, "I thought it was wonderful. We plowed corn with horses, had a little plow and called it double shovel, because it had two parts on it. Fought the stumps and the rocks and tried to get some kind of living out of the earth. We didn't have tractors till I was in high school." Dallas lived in a time where one horsepower meant the power of one horse. In high school, he took some money he had earned and bought a radio. One of those little radios where you had to sit and hold a part of it to make it pick up the station. He would listen to American Airlines' Music Till Dawn. He would also listen to Charles E. Fuller's radio show, The Old-Fashioned Revival Hour, the music of Rudy Atwood, and the rather unexcitedly named program The Lutheran Hour. There were also a lot of St. Louis Cardinals baseball games. Grandma Rhoda learned to like Charles E. Fuller, but she was never quite sure about Dallas's attraction to America's favorite pastime. The abundance of creation. For all of his high school years, Dallas lived on a farm and spent time with lots of animals. He would shear sheep and help in the birthing of lambs, calves, and colts. He recalled, "It is hard not to love lambs, especially while watching them bounce down a hill on all fours." Growing up on a farm, Dallas never quit enjoying seeing things grow.